Well, we're in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. If you'll please turn with me there to the book of Hebrews. And this morning we are continuing our study in this wonderful book, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 3. This morning we are up to verse number 3. The Bible says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." So I hope you remember this term study is entitled "With Christ in the School of Faith." And this year, as we look at the subject of faith, we've been reminded that in Hebrews 11, we have a great cloud of witnesses, believers that have gone before us, that have given us a wonderful testimony of their life. And we understand by reading the Old Testament that they did not live sinless lives. Is that correct? Absolutely. They were not sinless. In fact, they were sinners saved by grace. Each one of them were saved in Hebrews chapter 11. And also the Bible tells us to encourage us, they all graduated the life of faith with a good report. They all obtained a good report. So that encourages us as Christians that if you and I choose to live a life of faith, we too can graduate from God's school of faith with a good report. And so far we've learnt that the Christian life is likened to a race. Not a sprint, but a marathon, a long-distance race. And God encourages us and challenges us to stay in the race. Remember our last lesson? In the last term, we were encouraged to consider Christ, to learn from the Lord's example, to consider him. And in order to run the Christian race, we need to be looking unto Jesus. Because there's lots of discouraging things in the Christian life, lots of temptations, lots of stumbling blocks. And just like running a race, we need to keep our eyes on something. Running the Christian race, we need to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this morning, we are going to look at a subject that is one of the reasons why many Christians quit the race. Notice what the Bible says in verse 3. "For consider him that endured such," what's the next word? "Contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds." Now the word contradiction is an easy word to understand if you divide it into two. Contra, which means contrary or against. Diction, which means words. So words against. Of course, if you look up the original Greek word, you'll see it does mean anti-words. Words spoken against. Actions done against. And the Bible tells us we are to consider Christ because during his earthly ministry, he lived an entire life where those around him were against him. He faced sinners that contradicted him. He faced those around him who spoke against him, misunderstood him, did not believe in him. Is that correct? Let me ask you this morning, have you ever been misunderstood? Absolutely. We all face times in our lives when we are misunderstood. Now, I could talk this morning about the fact that when the Lord was reviled on the cross, he reviled not again, but he committed that offense to the Lord who judges righteously. But to be honest with you, most of the times, our greatest offenses, when we are most offended, they don't come from those who are lost. You know, oftentimes when someone who's not saved hurts us, says nasty words against us, it's not that difficult, not always, but most times, to say, well, they just need to get saved. And we understand that, and we are patient. But what about those who are close to us? What about those who are believers? Isn't it true that most of the times, the greatest offenses in our lives come from those who are closest to us? Comes from those who we love and love us. And you know, the Bible tells us that Christ endured the contradiction words spoken against him, he endured the contradiction of sinners against himself. And this lesson, let me encourage you, is meant to help you and I to know what to do when we are offended. To know what to do when someone speaks against us. When someone does something contrary to us. Because what are we going to do? How are we going to respond? Now you see, the danger is if we're not prepared when offences come, what does verse number 3 says? Lest ye be wearied and consequently faint in your minds. You see, the Christian life is a race. And if we're not prepared for the challenges to come, then you and I will be potentially the next casualty in the race, tempted to give up. Why are many Christians no longer running the Christian race? Because along the race, along the line of living by faith, at one point or another, they became offended. They became hurt. They became discouraged and said, look, this is too much. I don't want to be in this church anymore. I don't want to serve God anymore. And the Bible tells us to encourage us, we need to consider Him. Because the right race we're running is not a physical race, it's a spiritual race. We are in a spiritual battle. So I hope I've got your attention already this morning. Amen. Enduring contradiction. So notice first of all in your notes, contradicting family. Family. Now those who contradicted the Lord did not come when he was older, but even came from his own family. He experienced the contradiction of sinners within his own family, even at a young age. Notice in Luke chapter 2, verse 48, your blank is the word family, the first blank. By the way, if I miss any blanks, they're on the back page at the bottom. Verse 48 says, they're in your notes, and when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou dealt thus with us? Thus dealt with us, behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Now you remember what's taking place at this very time. The Lord Jesus Christ and his parents had gone to Jerusalem. There are a number of feasts that they went to Jerusalem for. They went for the Passover and they traveled in large groups for safety. Now, when the feast was over, they left, and Mary and Joseph just assumed that the Lord Jesus was within the same group that they were in. Now, as you know, they were heading back, and the Bible tells us they noticed that the Lord was not there. Now, you can imagine if you are a parent, a mother, what Mary was feeling as she ran throughout the crowd looking for the 12-year-old Lord Jesus. And what she was thinking. As she searched the crowd, obviously you know that he wasn't there. And maybe she was asking everyone there, you know, have you seen him? Do you know where he is? Did you see anyone that was with him? And maybe the panic that grew in their hearts when they realized that he wasn't there and they had to go back to Jerusalem. You know, no matter what the Catholic Church says, Mary was not a perfect woman. She was a sinner who rejoiced in the Lord her Saviour. And she knew that she needed a Saviour. She wasn't perfect. Joseph wasn't perfect. And we know that they were a day's journey from Jerusalem. So can you imagine the panic in their hearts? The worry in their hearts. The Bible says they searched for him for 3 days. And by the time they found the Lord Jesus, he was now missing for 5 days. When they finally found him, they were upset. Verse 48, look with me again. The word amazed, when they saw him, they were amazed. The word amazed means to be astonished. Not to wonder with joy, but to be shocked. Shocked in a discouraged way. To see something that is just, I can't believe this. That's how they felt. I can't believe he's still here. What was he doing? He was teaching. And they were shocked that he was still there. And they said to him, son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. In other words, why have you done this to us? Don't you know we were worrying about you? How many of you have ever heard that from mum and dad before? Why have you done this to us? Now, the Lord, we have to understand, even in a child's body, was still 100% God. Amen? The Lord Jesus Christ is God. And he could have lectured Mary. Now, obviously, in verse 49, he did respond. He said this unto them, "How is it that you sought me? Wist it not, don't you know, that I must be about my Father's business?" You see, Mary said, "Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." But Joseph was not the Lord Jesus Christ's father. He corrected her. He said, "Don't you know, I need to be about my Father's business." But here's a question. Did the Lord Jesus Christ get upset at Mary for being upset at him? Yes or no? No. He did answer her, but he was patient. You see, the Lord could have said, "Mary, don't you know by now who I am? Now, before I came into this world, the angel of the Lord came and spoke to you. Don't you know who I am by now?" You know, he could have been upset for being misunderstood. He could have been upset that Mary and Joseph were so upset because they should have known by now that he is the God the Son. God come down to this earth in the flesh, the Messiah. They should have known by now. Now, he could have become upset. He could have become angry. He could have rebuked them harshly, but he didn't. He didn't. The Lord was patient with Mary and Joseph. And as Christians, we need to understand that sometimes offenses will come within our own family. Why? Because let's be honest, we are all sinners. Amen. The Lord endured such contradiction of us, sinners, against himself. We are sinners. Our family members are sinners. Our children, as much as we love them and as cute as they are, they're still little sinners that need to get saved. Amen. And after they get saved, and you and I too, guess what? We still have a sinful flesh. We have a new nature, but sin is not gone, eradicated, until we get to heaven. So we need to be prepared to know what to do when we're misunderstood. Have you ever been misunderstood by your own family? I think that's probably the most often when you and I get upset. Someone who loves us, someone who we think ought to know us by now, says something contrary to us, and we become offended. Why? Because they're offended. Because they're upset. You know, isn't it true, when people are stressed out, when people are angry, when people are worked up, and no doubt Mary and Joseph were, sometimes that causes them to lose sight and behave of reality and behave in a way they otherwise would not. But on our part, we need to be prepared to be patient. To be patient. We need to be prepared not to ruin a good relationship with a family member because suddenly they act in a way or speak in a way that's contrary to us. See, the Lord gives us an example to follow, doesn't he? In his life and in his ministry. We need to be careful not to think that we have a right to answer someone back in the same stress, in the same manner, with the same rebuke as they give to us. Contradicting family. And that's so important that we understand that we need to live a life of faith. And a life of faith is when you and I trust in the Lord and we consider Christ and we desire to respond the way Jesus would respond. Whether it's in our marriages, whether it's in our home with our children, whether it's with our brothers and sisters and our brethren in Christ, how does the Lord want me to respond? We need to learn to be patient with others. Amen? We need to learn to be patient. Now, the Lord was very patient. He was very forgiving. In fact, he had the absolute right to do the Father's business and to be there. They should have understood. They shouldn't have been so worried. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he was patient with them. And the Bible goes on to say that he went back with them. And what did he do? He submitted himself unto Joseph and Mary. He submitted himself unto them. You see, the Lord gives us a wonderful example of faith and patience in being misunderstood. And at times you and I will always be misunderstood. Now, the contradictions just became worse as the Lord grew older. Let's continue to move on. Notice in your second point there in your notes, contradicting brethren. Your blank is the word brethren. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ had brothers and sisters after he was born. Mary and Joseph had other children. And the Bible tells us there in verse chapter 7, he received contradiction from his own brethren, his own family. The Bible says, they said to him, "For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world." But neither did his brethren believe in him. So the Lord Jesus Christ decided not to go into Judea because there was a plot to kill him. And the Bible tells us that his brothers challenged Jesus to risk his life and to go where people were trying to kill him. And the Bible says, "For neither did his brethren believe in him." Now, if there was anyone that should believe who he is, it should have been his own. Yeah. The children, obviously, they're children of Mary and Joseph, but they grew up with him. They should have known by now also who he is. But neither did his brethren believe in him. They grew up with him, but they did not believe in him. You see, people are still sinners. And the Lord Jesus Christ had to endure such contradiction of sinners against himself. And by the way, that's much worse than you and I when we're offended, because he is God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is perfect. He has done nothing wrong. And here's his brethren not only not believing in him, but showing that by the words that they speak and saying, "Well, if you really are God, then why don't you just go back to the place where they're trying to kill you and let's see what happens." That's what they said. And the Lord Jesus could have turned around and said, "Well, let me show you who I am." And he could have rained fire down from heaven. Is that right? Just like his disciples wanted him to do once. And he could have turned them into pillars of salt just to prove who he was. He could have become angry and rebuked them. But he didn't. The Bible says he endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. You see, we never see Jesus react with hatred. We never see him return evil for evil. We never see the Lord lose his temper, even when those who should have believed in him the most did not. And Jesus was not offended when he had every right to be. His own brothers and sisters. Can you imagine how much that would have hurt to the Lord? And yes, it is hurtful when loved ones speak contrary towards us, when hurtful things are said against us. The Lord never says it will never hurt, but the Lord says, "I want you to consider how you will respond. I want you to consider Christ, because he endured." You see, the only way you and I will be able to press forward and run the Christian race is to determine in our hearts how we're going to deal with offences when they come, because they will come. And if we're not careful, those offences can cause us to give up. No matter where we are in the Christian life, those offences can cause us to say, "Hey, you know, I've had enough. That person just doesn't understand me, and I give up. That's it. I'm walking away. I'm walking away from my marriage." How many marriages end because of misunderstandings? A lack of patience, forgiveness, a lack of a willingness put aside anger, amen. To put it aside and not esteem one another better than ourselves and be humble before one another. See, the Lord Jesus Christ was humble in his example. And so often when we are attacked, what do we desire to do in return? Attack back. And that is not a spiritual response. Amen? And even we as fundamental independent Baptists have to admit that to be true. To attack back in return is not a response of the Spirit of God. The response of God's Spirit is to be patient, not to react in anger. We don't see the Lord behaving that way. Notice as we continue, contradicting friends. Contradicting friends. Christ's parents, that is Mary and Joseph, you know what I mean, and then his brethren, and then now his friends, his disciples, contradicted him. Now, Matthew chapter 16, you can look with me there if you like in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 16, the Lord Jesus Christ asked his disciples in verse 13, "Who do men say that I am?" And then, of course, as you know, Peter gave the wonderful profession of faith that he had. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And yet, just a few verses later, suddenly the tone changes, doesn't it? Peter speaks by the Spirit of God. And the Lord knew he was a believer, because no one could say such a statement unless they had trusted in Christ as their Savior. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Then the Lord Jesus goes on to tell his disciples about the reality of his soon death, crucifixion, and that he will have to die, and that he will be leaving. And suddenly Peter's tone changes. Suddenly Peter's behavior changes in such a way that he becomes another sinner, contradicting himself against the Lord. The Bible tells us in verse 22, Peter took him. That means Peter literally grabbed the Lord Jesus Christ. You can imagine the scene. Peter grabbed him and he said to the Lord, he said, "This shall not be." So here's Peter. At one moment he's filled with the Spirit, speaking spiritually, responding spiritually, and suddenly he's responding in the flesh. Now, brethren, that's a good example of the reality of the Christian life. Sometimes we ourselves are walking in the Spirit, but sometimes we respond in the flesh. We need to be prepared that others who are Christians sometimes will respond in the flesh towards us. Why? Well, what did the Lord say to Peter? He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Now, that's a very stern response, is it not? It's a very stern response, but it's a loving one, because the Lord revealed, hey, you know, there is a real devil. There is a real devil, and the devil's goal is to hinder the work of God. The devil's goal is to get God's people divided against themselves and to hinder God's work. And the Lord, yes, he rebuked Peter, but he never became defensive. He was never offended by the words or actions of others. You see, the Lord rebuked him, but the Lord did not reject him. Amen? The Lord did not cast Peter away and said, "That's it. Give me back your discipleship certificate. You know, you're out." No, he didn't. Not at all. The Lord was patient. That's why we need to consider him. Now, as we go on, the Lord said, in fact, "All ye shall be offended at me." The Lord said, "I'm not offended. You're the ones who are going to be offended. You're the ones who are going to flee in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was taken captured." What happened to the disciples? They all ran away. They were all offended. And you see, the disciples were offended because they were shocked, discouraged, disappointed. They didn't understand what was going on. And they were offended that the Lord Jesus was suddenly gone, and they knew who he was. They knew he was the Messiah. And suddenly he let himself be taken captive. He was taken captive and he was hauled away. And they were shocked. They were dismayed. They were discouraged. They were saddened and they were doubting the Lord's word. They were doubting the Lord's commitment to them. They were discouraged. And that helps us to understand a little bit about why sometimes Christians become angry, become unfaithful, and why they become so offended that they even choose to stop running the Christian race. You see, when a Christian doubts God's faithfulness, that's the first step down into quitting the race. Why do Christians quit the race? Because they become offended at the Lord. They become offended at God. They doubt His word. They no longer trust His faithfulness. You see, the disciples lost sight of the big picture of why Christ came. But even in the midst of this great, huge contradiction, His own closest friends whom He had been with for more than 3 years, the ones who should have known Him the most and stuck by Him the closest, fled. And the Lord had to endure the betrayal. You know, we think about Christ weeping in the garden. Could it be that He was also sorrowing about every event that would come? Not just the crucifixion, but the rejection of all. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Christ had to endure. And no matter how severe the contradiction is, Christ's example shows us that we need to behave in a Christ-like manner. We need to endure. Lastly, in your notes, enduring contradiction. Now, here's the application. I hope you can see that through all His life, just from a few examples, Jesus Christ endured the contradiction of sinners against Himself. And those who are hurting, those who are angry, those who are worried and stressed and have lost sight of the Lord by faith, oftentimes are the ones to become angry at others, oftentimes are the ones to hurt others. We can be that person as well. When we get upset, when we get angry, when we stop trusting in the Lord, and we need to be careful of our responses. Enduring contradiction. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in His mind. Now, why did the Lord Jesus not get offended and give up? Well, back in Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible says that He endured. Why? Hebrews chapter 12. Look with me there. Hebrews chapter 12. The Bible says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the, what's the next word?
Joy.
Who for the joy that was set before Him. You see, He was still joyful in enduring contradiction, in enduring the cross. Why? Because of the joy that was set before Him. You see, in all this difficulty, in all the words and actions spoke against Him, the Lord did not lose sight of the big picture. The Lord realized, hey, there's something much more important than my own feelings. That's how we need to be as Christians if we are to respond spiritually. The Lord Jesus realized there's something much more important than my own feelings. That's what happened in the garden, amen? Not my will, He said, but Thy will be done to God the Father. There's something much more important than me getting offended and my pain and my suffering. The Bible says that God made Himself of no reputation. He humbled Himself and became a servant. Why? To what purpose? For the glory of God. For the purpose of the cross. And so as Christians, we need to realize that we too, if we are to follow the Lord and be able to deal with offenses that come towards us, we need to not lose sight of the bigger picture. Amen? We are all, let's say it again, sinners. So don't be surprised when someone offends you. Because sooner or later, you and I are going to offend someone. You and I will react in the flesh. Don't allow that to be a reason to quit the race. Amen? We need to, in our response, learn to endure. Learn to not lose sight of the bigger picture. See, when we're offended, we are not living by faith. We forget that, hey, we are in a spiritual battle. And there is a real devil. And we have a real sinful flesh. And the devil can work through our sinful flesh and cause us to stumble one another. And we need to lose sight, hey, this isn't about me, this is about the Lord. My marriage is about God's glory. The way we raise our children is not about my way or the highway, but it's about God's glory. What we do in the church is not about me getting my way or you're getting your way. It is about you and I glorifying God. So if we look unto Jesus and keep God's glory and His work of salvation, which is the ultimate goal, amen, to be a witness and to preach the gospel, to bring others to the cross that Christ has already died on and rose again from the dead, if we keep our focus on the Lord, then when offences come, we won't be so offended. Why? Because it's not about me. It's not about how I feel. You see, we need to learn to endure. To endure contradiction, words against us, actions against us, for the glory of God. See, when Mary and Joseph misunderstood him, the Lord was patient. When his brothers did not believe in him, he did not react in anger. When his closest friends were offended and forsook him, the Bible says the Lord kept loving them. The Bible says he loved them unto the end. Amen? He kept loving them. And what happened by the Sea of Galilee? Before the Lord ascended, he forgave Peter. Peter was restored, amen? Peter was forgiven. We need to be willing to forgive. Endured such contradiction. Now, it won't feel good when you're offended, when I'm offended. It never feels good. But if we commit to spiritually dealing with that situation by faith, by enduring, then you and I won't be the next casualty in the Christian race. We won't be the next one to faint. We won't be the next one to grow weary and to quit. Let me encourage you to stay joyful by keeping your eyes upon the Lord. Consider Him enduring contradictions. I'm sure some offences will come this week. Amen? Why? Because we're all sinners. Amen? And you and I included. So let's consider Christ. Next time we're offended, ask, Lord, what would you, how would you respond? And let's allow the Lord to teach us by His Spirit to be patient, to humble ourselves. Now, the Lord did give a response in different situations, but He did not react in anger. Amen? He was not personally offended. My, what an example. Christ, who is God, was not offended when He deserved all glory and praise. So how much should you and I be willing to die to self and allow the Lord to help us? We all need help. I need help in this area of my life. Let's be encouraged by God's word, and let's prayerfully ask Him to help us this week.